Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million. You didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Initech.
No, you're working at Initech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke. Don't do.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tomasi. Well, Stephanie Koenig. Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures up 10. Up 10. Remember that. Put it. Tape it. Well, I'm showing my age. Tape it. We haven't been up in a long time. Dow up 83. NASDAQ up 35.
Screenshot it.
Yeah, screenshot it is correct. Steph, what the hell is going on?
With this market?
Yes.
It's well, all over the place.
See what you had to do? You had to say with the market? Because it would be going on anything.
Yeah, well, it is. It's going on everything.
It's going on everything.
I ask.
It's like, no. What do you mean? What, on what?
Talking on politics? Are we talking on international news? Are we talking on finance? What do we got?
All right, I'll ask you an easy one. Is it the same subject?
I think a lot of it's tied together. Yes, I do. I think a lot of the volatility that we're seeing has a lot to do with the overall uncertainty in the world, and that's not just economic uncertainty. We've obviously got some uncertainty around what's going on with the White House, or I should say what will be going on with the White House. We've also got a bit of uncertainty in the world as to where Brexit's going to end up, with Angela Merkel kind of coming out of her major role. We've got some uncertainty as to where the European Union's going. We've got uncertainty as to China and how our trade's going to work. And then, of course, we've got a lot of Middle East conflicts that we've been hearing a little bit more about than we have in the past.
Well, wherever you feel like looking, you can find issues. I mean, if you wanted to worry about Ukraine, you could find a problem there. If you want to worry about Venezuela, you could find problems there. I need to get a deal with, like, the London Times or something, because we don't even talk about this. Of course, how much more bad stuff can I talk about?
Well, you know, on a good note, what are we, 7 days away from at least a holiday when the markets will be closed and everyone can take a bit of a break?
And we can't go down?
Well, exactly. One day we can't go down.
I don't know that I've ever... I have somewhere. I mailed it to myself last night. Self. I was researching these things later. It's the second worst December so far ever.
Really?
1931, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, December is not exactly known as a sell-off month. If
no.
Anything, just the opposite.
It usually hits in September or October.
Yes. Yes, maybe May sometimes. I mean, but, you know, I don't think you even look at the calendars the last few years.
No, actually, I think we've been relatively consistent that in the early fall over the last couple of years. I think this year is a little bit of a different anomaly. And I don't have all my statistics in my head. I didn't realize.
You don't have your stats in front of you?
No, I don't. But if memory serves me right, over the last several years, we've been pretty consistent that it's either September or October when we've kind of had a major pullback, which means about 10% or so. And then we've sort of plowed through the rest of the year.
Yeah, you really don't look at December as sell-off month. That part's for sure.
No, they've usually gotten it out of their system before this. So it's kind of interesting that it's happening now. Do you think that that's a product of our fine U.S. leader? Every time the market slowly goes down, he comes out with some tweet that kind of starts pushing things back up, and that's been kind of falsely inflating things, and now people are just kind of realizing that that's what's going on, and so they're taking their downward turn a little later in the year.
I'm going to do something I shouldn't do, but drop back into the University of Chicago mode and say, in general, and you have no idea, is it a timing or anything like that? I mean, if you ever think you can trade by saying, wow, I think the market's too high or too low, I better buy it or sell it like today. If you ever think that your timing on something like this, like the minute you see the light, like the, Belushi and the Blues Brothers, mm-hmm. That the rest of the world is going to see the light and you get to sell the market and 5 minutes later it goes flying down. I mean, if I were you, I'd take a different pill to counteract the first pill that you took. I think a bunch of stuff's happened. We had if you look at money supply numbers, which, I know I look at, which is a gross indicator, for the last 5 to 6 months, we've had the current Fed dropping down to a 3 to 3.5% increase in M2, which is the lowest it's been, since really the crisis in 2007 or 8. And it's probably where it should be, because it's growing at the exact, pretty close to the actual growth in the economy. Right. Probably still a little high, but it's okay. It had been 6 or 7 or 8. 5, 6, 7, or 8 for a long period of time. So if you go back through my lifetime in the markets, and probably way before that, when you see these gross run-ups in the market, and then whatever happens afterward, the fall apart, sell off, for lack of a better term, if you trace it back to the Fed antics, you can pretty much always find them behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Where they expanded the money supply too much. It really doesn't get into everybody. It doesn't get into Stephanie Koenig's purse. I guarantee you that.
I'll guarantee that.
Yeah. It's not going to go into Matt Weber's pocket or mine. So even though they think it does, the guys who get it are always telling them that, don't worry, it's going to go to the little guy too, and it never does. So at the end of the day, for lack of a better analogy, there's money left on the table. And some of that finds its way into the market. And when I say this, I will say that I'll start back when I was, I wasn't doing this stuff. I was in high school, for God's sake. The Bretton Woods going off the gold standard to essentially pay for the Vietnam War. Money comes flying to the system. The market goes up every day. We go into I think the market came real close to 1,000 in 1968, 69, somewhere in there. My history is a little... We didn't go back to that number until, 1982, 83, 84, somewhere in there?
Somewhere in there.
So for a 15, 16-year period, we had pumped the market up, it comes right back down, and just wallows forever. Same thing happened 2000 Y2K, remember?
I do remember Y2K well.
And when we poured money in, we didn't know if anything was going to work, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't surprise me at all that the top of the dot-bomb boom was March of 2001. Right, or February, somewhere in there?
I think it was around February, yeah.
Yeah, and then we had Greenspan with the 1% rates, which nobody could figure out why he did that in 2006. And sure enough, 2007, 2008, we had this huge collapse after a big run-up. Now we did the same thing. So we pump the assets up. People who own assets are happy as clams. And we run them up higher than they should be. So let's say... I'm actually fairly happy with this sell-off in the sense that it looks to me like it's orderly enough so far that we might just land at a 10 or 15%, and I wouldn't, I'm not going to say you shouldn't, but I would not call it volatility. I would call it a repricing.
I don't think you're wrong on that. I think there's a lot of volatility, but that's the uncertainty that's in there, not what the sell-off is. And I agree with you, the sell-off is repricing.
And it's more volatile than having it not moving, but we haven't really had a... Even with the market fabric, which I think is pretty lousy with all these, way the stock is traded these days, we haven't seen one where we're down, 1,500 Dow points and then fly back even and back to, it's been, even yesterday, which, it's been a few days in a row, you would think it would come unglued, but it really didn't. It was an okay sell-off, and now today we firmed up a little bit. So it's not like it's more volatile than it was. But it's not...
Well, it was in record low volatility from the world. I mean, so I think you're completely right that this is more of a sell-off. The question is do you think that the Fed's announcement, that's what comes out in 2 days, is going to make a difference? And do you think the market's going to pop after...
Do you think they're going to weenie out or are they going to do it?
I don't know. I would think that... So, based on previous experience with the Fed, but not necessarily this Fed group, I would say they're going to stick with it, and then they'll stick with their December Or other January, where they said they're not going to do anything.
I would say that they probably should do it today. We're close to... And on one hand, it depends on how you look, Steph. It's, if you were to say, given what's happening to the market and given the fact that the economy seems to have hit a little bit of a wall in the last few months, I mean, yep. No matter how you look at it, people are still talking about how the consumer's in great shape, what a great Christmas, what they're smoking. I got to get some of it. I mean, I don't know where they're seeing that, but...
I think people went out early because that was when deals and all sorts of stuff were out there. And, you know, we'll see if it peters off, but yeah.
Well, so let's say, for instance, that that they, I mean, that's how you ask it. As a person who has been hung around attorneys and hangs with an attorney, you know, it's all how you ask the question.
Very true.
If you were to say, given what's happening, given what's happened to the stock market, would you pick today to raise interest rates?
Well, the answer would be, of course, no.
The answer would be, of course, no.
But if you're saying, hey, you know, based on market conditions possibly changing and not giving me the opportunity to change interest rates moving forward, would I change interest rates? What would your answer be?
Well, more it comes down to what are the rates? Should we be amazingly expansive at this point? We still have an amazing amount of money that's awash in the system. Because we're not really talking about a federal funds rate. We're talking about the Fed paying banks for excess reserves, paying interest on it. It's a whole different...
It's a different ballgame.
It's a whole different ballgame. So the Fed really needs to drain more out just to be normal. So normal would be a 3.5% money supply growth with people going to the bank and getting 2%. You know, maybe if you left it there a year, getting 2.5%. Risk-free money should be something. You leave money at PTI, you should get something for it.
I agree. I mean, I think interest rates should rise. I think we have been in a kind of a weird balance because zero interest rates, A, have never existed for as long as they have, I don't think, in the history of the world, right? And B, it does a lot of businesses a lot of harm when there is no interest. And so I think to even out our economy and a lot of the little players, interest is an important part of balancing out things.
You should be able to get your money. If you have extra money and somebody borrows it from you, they should have to pay you.
Yes.
This is about as basic as it gets.
Even in the ancient world, when people, you know, were running around on trails, they still had interest rates.
You borrow 100 money. Stones from somebody, you expect them to bring back 102 or 103 at the end of the year.
Exactly.
That's without inflation on stones.
Correct.
But yeah, I mean it's an issue. Now, if the rates were 6%, would I say you should raise tomorrow? The answer is no.
No, agreed.
But I mean, at 2%, should you go to 2.25 and see where it lands for a year? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I say yes.
We probably need to be around closer to 3 and 3.5%.
Well,
whether we're going to get there or not's a question.
We could roll with 2.75 for a while.
Oh, agreed. I'm not trying to push them to do this quickly. I'm just saying, you know, if I were looking at the economy overall and long-term healthiness, I would say we'd want to be at least around 3, 3.5%.
So why do people, the conversation we just had, and I'll add to it a little bit, what it's done to savers. I went through the calculation, which I should never do. We had David Stockman on here a long time ago, and he's convinced, of course, he's got a book to sell. I don't. He was convinced it was $400 billion a year taken out of the hide of savers.
Okay.
I actually went through the math. I thought the number was more like 3.25. And by the way, he admitted that to us, didn't he, Manny? That he was using the 400 number just for because it sounded better?
Round.
Yeah, actually.
Anyway, so say 3.25 for 8 years. Steph, how many roofs? How many new cars? How many new fences?
It's a lot.
It's a lot. How many new windows? It's all about taking the money from one person and give it to another. And the issue I have is all the people I care about have never once been on the receiving end of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we can go back to the monopoly conversation we've had in the past, which is, you know, as corporations get bigger and there gets to be fewer and fewer people in the mid-range and the top tier of those jobs, tiers within large companies because they don't need as many people, the distribution of wealth just declines.
Well,
so
you get a, and I actually don't know how you stop this. Maybe you can tell me. Because Steph is a consultant. She's not an insultant, a consultant.
I am an insultant sometimes, too.
But how is it in human events when your job at the Fed is to protect the, quote, banking system, which you are? I mean, the whole idea is when something bad happens, you are the banker of last resort. This whole idea that we can somehow manage our way out of crisis, that's not what you want. You want a certain level of risk that makes sense. And if something really crazy happens, the system is not designed to hold up to, quote, an absurd level of risk. That's when you come in. That is your job, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But what ends up happening is you become beholden to, quote, the banks instead of the banking system, which is a totally different deal.
But that's because you only have a few banks that have all of the risk out there, and their risk is so intertwined with one another that it's really not just risk with one bank. It's compounded because the risk for your bank is intertwined with the risk of the bank next door, even though, you know.
But they always have been. I guess what I'm saying is if we had 15 money center banks like we used to.
And that's where I was getting to, right? So having more banks, like, reduces the overall system risk. And the problem is, you know, whether you're for the additional regulations that they've put into place, it's reduced the number of banks, the number of FCMs, the number of players in the marketplace. And that's, in some ways, increased risk. In some ways, you know, regulation has just pushed risk around in different places, because you can't ever completely eliminate risk. But
nor do you want to.
No, nor do you want to. But, yeah, I mean, hey, we're at risk. Look at Amazon. Amazon, let's say they got hacked and every one of their servers went down. That's a lot of businesses that use Amazon Web Services. You know, your risk is all in one place as opposed to having 10 different Amazons out there and, you know, one goes down. Well, now, you know, your economy's hit, but not in such a dramatic manner. So the same applies to kind of whatever monopoly we're talking about.
But when you end up, I think it gets even more than that. It gets very personal. And when you have a Fed meeting, I mean, damn it, isn't Jamie Dimon in the room?
I actually don't know. Is he?
Well, the banks have representatives at these big meetings.
They do, but
I don't think they're in there when they vote.
That's okay. That's what I was going. No, they don't. Aren't in when they're in the vote. They are in there to listen for sure. And of course, they send a representative. They send an economist, who, you know, then talks about I was in the Fed meeting and yada yada. It's like going to see Buffett, right? I get to ask the one question.
Yeah, yeah. I could go on about Buffett, but I won't. What I'm saying is that the job now, instead of becoming, what do we do to save the system and the risk and make sure people can still borrow, make sure people still get money for putting money in their bank, it comes down to what do we have to do to build the balance sheets of these four people. That is an incredibly different job.
Well, it is. I mean, I don't think anyone views their job as that's what it is. But
well, how do you? Okay, let me ask a question. I'm sorry to interrupt, but how do you get from point A to point B? If you're going to have all these guys do is talk about, and Powell will come out and talk about the balance sheets at the banks are so strong, which means in Southside parlance, they got more money than God, and they made all this money because somebody gave it to them. Well, how do you get a balance sheet that's incredibly strong? How does PTI go from having, you know, a nice balance sheet to one with $20 million on it, okay? Well, we can do it one of two ways. I can go out and raise $20 million, or if I had it personally, I could deposit it in there and say, okay, now my share increases, now I have $20 million. You can do it that way, or PTI can make $20 million, like, real fast. Okay, how the hell are we going to do that? Well, if the Fed says, you get money for free, and we'll borrow it back from you at 2%. And oh, by the way, charge fees up to behind and charge 24% on credit cards. Well, guess what? After a period of 3 years, PTI may actually have made $20 million based on the Fed giving it to them. Why did the Fed say, you bleeps go out and raise some capital?
Well, I mean, that's a very good question. I think that's got a lot to do with the fact that Fed's existing or historical role and then the role that they're taking on now. You know, they've taken on a passively aggressive role at the moment, which is not their typical, if history looks at it, it's not their typical role. They were a lot more passive in the marketplaces, in marketplace in general, until basically around 2008. They started taking a more active role. I'm not saying they didn't do anything before, but they weren't buying loans, they weren't buying all sorts of other things and adding it to a portfolio. And so, you know, I think what they've done is they've taken on half the responsibility, but not the whole responsibility. And, you know, in some ways I think that's prudent because they have at least not jumped into trying and taking over the whole marketplace and dictating that. But the question is should they really be in this kind of middle laissez role? Should they go back to a more passive role?
And I think they should go back to a smarter role.
I do too.
And their job is not to fight the last battle. Right now in their mind, in their bureaucratic mind. By the way, here's one for you. Maddie Weber, who had this quote. Now, you know, those TV shows I used to watch. The bureaucratic mind has been a constant through the ages.
Sounds like a Star Trek quote.
Yep.
Who is it?
What's his name? Bones.
When you said through the ages, it had to be Star Trek.
Yeah.
That was very good, man. Great guess.
Thank you.
I would not have guessed that.
And the problem is Citigroup, Bank of America. These guys, these idiots almost went under last time. We don't ever want that to happen again. So we're going to make sure they have so much money that no matter how bad they screw up, they got enough that they won't go under and pester us, basically. Well, I guess that's one way of doing it. It's like, and now you have, we have 58,000 people working for the TSA because somebody somewhere blew up a plane and a tower and another tower. Okay, does that mean that people haven't been able to find other ways to go kill people in mass quantities since then?
Well, no. That's obvious.
It's obviously no. So, okay, but now the Fed has done nothing about dollar-denominated loans in China. They've done nothing about payday loan places. They've done nothing about...
And that goes to my point,
yeah,
that they've half taken on this role. You know, I mean, and they've done it because I think they're trying to be prudent. I don't think that's a role that they necessarily ever saw themselves in to begin with. They went in somewhat hesitantly, and now they don't really know how to get out of this role, and it's not a role they particularly want. So I think at this point, or it was my opinion, that they kind of are sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place, not sure whether to move forward or not sure whether to move backwards, because it's complex on which way they kind of push.
Well, I actually think that the role is to anticipate the next crisis and move to, when it happens, you move to diffuse it. That is their role.
Correct, except for the fact that they now have this gigantic position. So now they're in the same position as the banks. So the banks are looking not only at the future and looking to see what next crisis and what's out there, but they also have to look at what's current. They currently have risked in the marketplace, and that changes your perspective, and that's part of the problem.
Well, absolutely, but if you go back to the Fed of Volcker's time, Mr. the hero, I honestly think that Volcker did, you know, pretty much a piss-poor job. I think he could have done that. He went way too heavy. I think he could have done it in such a way where he probably could have saved some of the savings and loans. And since that day, we do not have a mortgage industry in this country that makes any sort of sense.
It totally. Repeal of Volcker rule is just absolutely ridiculous.
No, I'm talking about when he didn't have to raise the money supply that much. He didn't have to He didn't have to drive the interest rates that high. And the savings and loan industry going out of business essentially left us with no mortgage industry.
We have this
other mortgage industry which really caused 2008, I think.
Well, that's because the self-regulation of it has absolutely been destroyed. The original, you know, the original checks and balances have been slowly graded over time, starting with Reagan, moving on with Clinton, and then continuing on with Bush. So they slowly degraded that whole part marketplace. And as a result, that's where you got a whole bunch of people who were supposed to be policing themselves, but all the incentives were to not police yourself. So it got to be a mess.
Oh, yeah. S&P futures up 9.25. Come back with Mr. Joel Ancannon, who's declared Michigan a basketball school, no longer a football school. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tim Howell. This is Stephanie Koenig. Matt Weber on the board. Webster Joel on Cannon in a second. S&P futures up 13 and a quarter as we try valiantly to make a move to the upside here today. Dow up 120, NASDAQ up 41, and Joel is going to tell us if we should whack it like whack-a-mole like the last few days. I'm tired of using that phrase, but it's pretty much what we're doing. DAX up 39 points, 0.4%. FTSE down 30.4%. Kick around down 4, call that flat, so a mixed bag over in Europe. Asia, these guys were not down like we were yesterday. They closed early, so they're kind of catching up here. Nikkei down 391, 21,115. That's 1.8%. That's pretty low for those dudes. They go under 20,000. It won't be good. Shanghai down 21.8%. Hang Seng down 273. That's a full 1%. 25,814. Oil, West Texas down 143. 48.45. Ouch on my XLE this morning. Brent down 152. Thank God I got some puts. Natural gas up 11 cents. 364 though. No longer the 450. It's down like 90 cents in the last couple of weeks. RBOB 137. Guess what, Steph? I shouldn't have filled up at 193. I'm going to get it cheaper this week. Home heating oil 179 as the winter seems to have abated a little bit. Gold up 39 cents. Silver down 5 cents. So darn near flat there. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports, and what about those two policemen last night? Ouch.
Not good. 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're off to a good start on the area expressways. No issues on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower-Stevenson traffic building, but no accidents or issues of concern. Same with the south side expressways. We have one crash in the entire area. It's out in western suburban Bartlett. West Bartlett Road at Route 59. There is a crash that's causing some delays, but everything else is going okay out there for a Tuesday morning. Weather today, beautiful. Sunshine, a high of 43, which is about 9 degrees above normal, so we'll take that. Right now it's crystal clear and 31 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 69 today. Right now it's clear and 45. In sports, Bulls were blown out last night in OKC, 121-96. Suns beat the Knicks, 128-110. Monday Night Football, it was a low-scoring defensive affair that saw the Saints outlast the Panthers, 12-9. Panthers couldn't quite beat the Saints, which would have helped the Bears out, putting them just one game behind the number one seed in the NFC. But the Saints took care of business. Panthers pretty much eliminated from the playoffs now as they dropped to 6-8. College hoops, number 18, Arizona State, lost to Vanderbilt 81-65. Northwestern blew out Chicago State 88-46. Chief.
Joel, how are you?
Good morning, Chief. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. What's your read on the... Real quick, well, you know what? Let's not talk about it. We'll talk about that later. We're going to talk about Manny Machado coming to the Sox because his brother-in-law is there. Is that wild or what?
I think they're going to need a little bit more than Manny Machado.
He's right about that.
Yeah, well, they got a couple of young guys coming up. They're pretty darn good. They got a guy from the Cubs. Second baseman's pretty good. They got some guys.
They got some pieces in the minor league system. It's just about getting them pan out.
Is that how nepotism works in baseball?
sort of. Yeah.
Why are we talking about baseball?
Exactly.
We're not.
You got to be all excited about your Fighting Irish.
The Bears.
Well, yeah,
sort of. The Bears, the Bulls. How about those Bears?
Did you see?
I want to change my tune on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish here for a second.
Okay.
Okay. Right. I want the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Even though they're a huge underdog to Clemson, I want them to beat Clemson. I want to have them beat the winner of the Alabama-Oklahoma game. Okay, I want them to be national champions. I want them to win every game starting next season until October 26th, and that is when the Fighting Irish come into the big house. We are playing you guys. I was looking at this on the schedule because we usually play you guys at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And they stuck you guys here in the end of October. That I am calling that the game of the year in 2019 as Notre Dame rose to a national championship this year.
So who paid you? I mean,
yeah. why won't possess a Big Ten team or any team that has a conference schedule to play a game like that late in the year?
I have no idea. I am looking at it myself. I'm in utter amazement. I guess maybe they were reading the tea leaves, seeing that Notre Dame was going to be coming off a good season. Hopefully Michigan at that point could be, and I'm saying if we could get by the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders or the Army Black Knights, You know, we got at Penn State the week before. I mean, who knows? I mean, it could be the game of the year. But, man, big underdogs, both both Notre Dame and Oklahoma. I want to see the upset.
By the way, Chief, the Irish are 13.5-point dogs to Clemson.
Did you see the an email where I dig this up was before I spew something that's wrong, as usual. Clemson has five-star guys. The Irish have none. If the Irish have, like, 12 four-star guys,
and
Clemson has none. It's weird.
I mean, they got how many guys can go in the first round in Clemson? You know, that's always the big factor is how many NFL players you have. And holy moly, I saw a special on Clemson. And the same with Alabama. You know, they got the guys going that are going to play on Sunday.
Well, it comes down, a lot of it comes down to where those guys are versus your guys. I mean, if they're in a defensive line and you have a good offensive line and you can pull a no huddle, you might be able to, you know, negate something. But if you got guys on the line and guys that are deep backs, it's hard to negate everything.
Yeah, should be a couple good games there. Just real quick, I heard you talk about the market here. And, you know, when things get wacky like they have been over the last couple days or last couple weeks, I like to, you know, I like to zoom out. I don't, you know, I like to get away from my dailies. I like to get away from my weeklies, and I like to go to the monthly charts. And what the monthly charts are telling me at this point, now this can change, is that we are in a trading range, Chief, since October of 2017. And the bottom of that trading range is the level that we hit yesterday. So I'm gonna, it's hard to keep this bull hat on here. But the best thing for the market is that we're some sort of trading range, and we hit the bottom of that trading range yesterday.
I'm going to say that we have a I don't usually make predictions, but I think this is a repricing. We're almost at the bottom of it, unless something else weird happens, and maybe another couple of percent, and then we're okay kind of for next year interest rate-wise. So we won't need a repricing next year. Then all the rest of the stuff comes into play, whether it's good, bad, or... I think the economy's slowing down pretty bad. I mean, it seems to be. See, some of those Empire State number yesterday was supposed to be 21. It came in at 10. Something weird happened in the last 8 weeks or something, Joel. I don't know what it is. But every
so business, you want the Fed. You're in President Trump's side there, and you want the Fed to take the foot off the pedal then, huh?
I think that the Fed should do their hike tomorrow. Where does it put them? 2.5?
Yep.
Which is about where they should be. It's a little light and then... normal, but that's okay. And just say next year we're data dependent. If things don't get much better, we might not do anything next year. I think that's what they should be.
I think that's what they're going to do.
Well, it to me that makes sense to me. That doesn't mean, I mean, it wasn't like we got the call, did we, Scott, right before the show?
No one's called me and said, you know, do this if you want to make money.
Actually, on the way in, on Steph's pink phone, the Powell called and said, is that Chief guy there? Maybe you guys should give me some clues.
Yeah, right.
Exactly what happened. But, I think that's what they ought to do, because I think the economy, I don't think it was ever that healthy, Joel. I don't think it ever was.
Gosh, Chief, I mean, are you doing the eyeball test? Are you looking at the numbers? Because what I can tell you is that, you know, in Detroit, obviously, you know, it's gone through much different cycles than, you know, other cities and other parts of the country. Either they're grossly overbuilding and there's just, we're just going to fall off a cliff, or there's not a recession in Detroit, Michigan. I'm just going, you know, working downtown, being in the area. I mean, that's what I see here. Now, that's only one, you know, microcosm of the entire economy, but my, you know, the building, the retail stores going in, that I don't see. But I'm sure, you know, that's just one small part of the entire country.
I would say that the country has been very bifurcated. How's that for a term this hour in the morning, Steph?
I like it. I don't even need a thesaurus for that one.
Yeah. I think that I have my guys. I probably have 10 people of various different walks of life. Some people are used car people. Some people are home handymen. Some people work for people. Some people have their own businesses, doctors, lawyers, you name it. And I keep tabs very closely at how they're doing. And I don't see anybody running away with it.
No.
I really don't. I mean, as for the places, the building going up in downtown, it is spectacular.
It's unbelievable.
I don't know. But you know what? Every single time we have a turn, Joel, we have a turn when there's 15 cranes left on top of buildings.
Yep.
And then we don't have another crane for 10 years.
And they're all rentals at this point. Yep. They're all rentals. There's nothing else out there.
And I you do have the incredible phenomenon of young people with the Googles and the McDonald's, and the people that have moved downtown Chicago, and whole areas that used to be like Skid Row are doing exceptionally well. You drive 5 miles, you got neighborhoods where nobody even is anymore. You know, so it really is a question of where you look, I think.
And you don't see a lot of, like, individual home, you know, individually owned businesses popping up. So there's still all the big names are out there, but a lot of mom-and-pop places you don't see starting these days.
No, so Joel, I think it's a question of where you look here.
By the way, I'm just doing the, you know, the eyeball test around here. You know, for the markets, you know, I like to look at things. You know, I gave you that low from yesterday. Very, very important if you want to stay in that trading range since October of 2017. The number on the upside, let's clear Friday's close. Let's get back to the 2600 handle, you know, and just, you know, and keep on going. But that's, you know, that's my call right now. Bottom of the trading range since 2017. And, Michigan basketball, still undefeated. I got another cream puff on Saturday, Air Force, but I like the way my team's looking.
Whoa. Wait till we tell Lou that you called Air Force the cream puffs.
Oh, Chief, you're doing your homework on me. Okay, put me on with Lou.
All right, buddy.
That sounds good. Go Blue.
We'll talk to you. Whoa, Lou. I can't. You're gonna hear from Lou before the break. SP Futures up 12. Be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. It's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN at PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Something happening.
Hello, don't pay Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom. Tom House. She's Stephanie Coney. Man Weber on the board. SP Futures up 17 now. Dow Futures up 155. NASDAQ Futures up 49. So far, the big Kenny Bulkeri club hasn't come out and whacked the market like it did yesterday, as he personally put it down 700 points from the top. Kenny, how are you, bud? Are you there?
But I'm all right.
So you personally sold the market off 700 points yesterday?
It's out of control, isn't it? The way the market sells off. Again, we talk about this every week. The speed, all that stuff, a lot of it certainly based on technical breakdown. The fact that it closed at the lows on Friday set itself up perfectly for what happened yesterday. Because, you know, when it... You know that. When
yep.
it closed, when they put pressure on the market and it closes on the lows and it can't get out, it typically sets itself up for the next day for another flush. Trying to, you know, shake out the weak links, and you know, that was some flush yesterday. I thought we were going to go to 25.55, and in fact, we sliced right through that and actually tested the February lows of 25.30, which I guess on the one hand is good because you get it out of the way, because it was probably going to go there anyway, but so now you got it out of the way, and it did it, and it did it yesterday, and it found support there, at least for now, it found support there. And now look what today, you know, today it's what are we up, 15 or 16 points down in the S&P, which is, you know, a far cry from what it was like on the downside. But look, we could easily be up 40 or 50 points today on the S&P, the same way we were down 50 points on the S&P yesterday.
My feeling, Kenny, for lack of, which that and whatever gets your phone call, I think this has totally been a revaluation.
Yes.
And it's been actually pretty darn orderly considering... Neither you nor I like the market fabric. It's been 1% a day, basically. I think
right.
we're in a couple of percent of where we are. Then that's where we are, and then we see what's going on going forward. I wouldn't expect a V-shaped bottom. I just think we bounce around. If there was a strategy for the next year, Kenny, I'd say you'd want to be a covered straddle rider.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I do think, you know, that the I thought maybe last week the worst was over before we had this last little flush, but you know. I do want to think that is exactly how you just described it. And now, you know, it'll thrash around for a while. It'll churn here for a little bit. And, as we start to look forward. Look, in my note this morning, and this is the part I think that's really frustrating for me, is that all the talk is turned to Jay Powell. Jay Powell, it's all about the Fed. The Fed has caused this whole breakdown. The Fed. I almost want to sit there and bang my head against the wall because does nobody realize anything else that's been going on or been happening all along? We've been talking about trade tensions. You're talking about tariffs. You're talking about slowing
yep.
earnings. You're talking about slowing global growth. Yet, the market went higher and higher and higher in the face of all that talk that's been going on for at least 8 months, at least the beginning of this year, right? Talk about trade tariffs. We started talking about that when Trump took the White House in 2017.
Yeah.
And so the market kept going higher, 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 higher. And all of a sudden, it has a breakdown, and it's all because of Jay Powell. I'm not buying that at all.
No.
I'm not saying, you know, the Fed is clearly off the hook, because look, we spent a decade getting into this situation. We knew it was going to be difficult to get out. But to sit here and blame the Fed for this recent market sell-off, and only the Fed, and it's all about Jay Powell, what he says, and he could stop this tomorrow, it's not his job to stop it.
Exactly.
Yeah, but Kenny, you can't have 15 different reasons, or 20, or maybe 100, and get them into a tweet. You should know that.
There's not enough letters.
You're right. You can't. So you got to pick something. And, you know, in Trump's typical way, you know, this bullying strategy where he comes out and he starts accusing and threatening to fire everybody. The last thing he should do, certainly, is to threaten to fire the Fed chair. First of all,
wait a second. He hasn't learned?
That.
I was going to say it. He hasn't learned?
Yeah.
Right.
But firing people does not help him?
I have a question for, now that I have you two mavens in one spot. I think, Kenny, to my own satisfaction, mental satisfaction, not the fact the market's down, I think I got it somewhat figured out as to what's happened until now. And in my view, we're a couple percent away from the Fed giving the thing tomorrow and then saying next year we're going to look and see because the economy is slowing. And
right.
maybe they don't have to go. My question to you and Steph, because you guys are a little more worldly wise, I have no idea, honestly, how to handicap this European situation, the Italian situation, that kind of stuff. Is that, I don't think the market is even looking at that yet. It's hard to say what the market's looking at, but I cannot put a handicap on that. Can you guys help there? What do you think?
Go ahead, Stephanie.
Well, I was thinking.
Oh, God.
Well, listen, here's what I think. I think the market is paying attention to it. I think that is part of the reason you've seen kind of the European markets come under pressure, are under pressure. I think that is part of, you know, what's one of the reasons why our market continues to break down, because I think it is paying attention to what's going on in Europe, to what's going on in Brexit, to the chaos that, you know, this divorce between the UK and the EU could have, because, you know, 6 months ago it seemed it was all moving along fine and everyone was happy and, you know, everyone was happy and shaking hands, and now it's a little bit more chaotic. This has all happened at the same time that global markets have come under pressure and US markets come under pressure. So I do think that the market is focusing on it. I really do.
Yeah, but I agree with what you're saying completely, but I think, you know, I think the markets were calm about it because basically they didn't see any progress, which meant that they thought that really nothing would end up coming of it. And now right. that they're in a position where basically it's been proven that nothing could come of it, but yet the administration is not willing to back down and let, you know, all of the ways out be achievable or move forward with that, I think that's where the risk, and that's why they're starting to worry about it. Before it
was
like,
listen, I also think that the comments on Friday out of Mario Draghi and ECB, the fact that they are, in fact, ending the bond buying program, which, by the way, is another thing we knew anyway. 6 months ago, he told you by December it was going to be over. He just reiterated that point on Friday. I think in the height of all this anxiety and tension going on around the world, that certainly isn't helping, because the same way they're bitching and complaining about the Fed, they're going to do the same thing in Europe about, oh, my God, how can the ECB stop this right now? We're going into this global slowdown. How can they stop? How can they stop? And they're all going to start screaming and yelling and crying about central bank policy again.
Kenny, how
they
can...
They want everyone to hold their hand.
Kenny, you know, someplace, somewhere, I guess I can be somewhat crude, some dumb mofo just bought a 10-year bond at negative interest. And then he said, what do you mean? The Lone Ranger retired? He's not coming over the hill and buying this for me for more money? Somebody somewhere is caught on this.
Right.
It's got to be.
Okay. But again, how can you be caught on it? It wasn't like it came out of the blue. Mario Draghi said it 6 months ago. By the end of the year, he expected to be done. So why this is catching anybody off guard or by surprise, you're either ignoring it, you're either pretending he never said it, or you're living under a rock.
Kenny, when Moses told everybody the manna was going to end in 30 days, I'm sure there were people who didn't plant anything, said it'll never stop. I mean, people don't change, do they? Right?
Yeah, they don't change. It's unbelievable. The behavior doesn't change. But I think the other thing that, you know, that we have to recognize in this sell-off is, again, and we talk about this too, but you have to talk about it, is the risk management software and the technology and the AI that has allowed these moves not only to happen so swiftly, but to happen without emotion, right? Because
yep.
you hit the nail on the head. It all has all been very orderly. It hasn't been, you know, hysterical at all.
No.
But the speed at which it's happened, and the depth of which it's happened in such a short period of time, is a direct credit of the efficiency of the technology, right?
Well, I think we would have done it without it.
Huh?
I think we would have done without it. I'd be anxious to know, and this maybe is a question for you, yesterday, if I had a triple short, did I really make 3%? I don't know. Did I? I have no idea.
Right.
I don't see how those guys could, if we're down 500 points 2 days in a row, I don't see how those things return 3% 2 days in a row, Kenny. I honestly don't. Do you?
Do they have to return 3%?
Well, it's supposed to be triple whatever the market does.
Triple whatever the market does. I mean, some of these leverage direction, leverage ETFs, that's what they're supposed to do, right? It's supposed to be 2 and 3 times whatever the market does. I don't play in that field, so I don't know any of those. I'd have to look at them and see. But they're designed, that's exactly how they're designed to perform.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I'm pretty good at options. I don't know how the hell I could do that on a daily basis without having some massive amount of time decay.
All I know is from my historical experience, it's not that they do it on a daily basis. It's that they have certain market conditions where they can do that. So I think that's just advertising.
Okay, so Kenny, go ahead. I was going to say, do you think we get any kind of a little? It's hard for me to imagine we sell off right through Christmas, for God's sake.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, here's what I think is going to happen, and I think we're going to. I think the tone will change, because I think Powell's going to come out tomorrow. I think he is going to raise rates by a quarter of a point in December, but I think he's going to take any 2019 expected hike off the table and just say that they're completely data dependent, that there is not a set schedule anymore, and he's going to become more dovish like that, and that I think will then cause the markets to rally into the end of the year. But look, don't forget, as you move into the next week and the week after, I mean, other than the 30th and 31st, it's going to get very quiet in terms of volume. People will be on vacation. People will be away. So actually the moves can end up being more exaggerated because there's less people sitting at their desks over the next 2 weeks, both in Europe as well as in the United States. So, you know, I would have preferred to see the move happen before, you know, next week or the week after, but I do think if he comes out today and he says, okay, we're raising rates today as expected, the market should not be surprised, but, you know, I'm becoming much more dovish for 2019, and so I'm taking all rate hikes specifically, not off the table, but there's no set schedule, and we're going to see as we go. And I think that will be the tone tomorrow, and then I think you'll see the market rally.
All right, one final question, if we have time, to both of use, there's a Southside term. Do you think we're finally dead with the bad news, good news, good news, bad news? I mean, I'm thinking if he comes out and says just what you said, Kenny, I don't see that as good news. It means that the economy is not growing.
Go ahead.
I agree. I think that's exactly what it says, and that's really negative news, right?
But do we bounce off it because that means they're going to pour more money back in and we're back to manna from heaven like 2 years ago? I don't think so.
No, I think we bounce a little bit, and then I think we go back down between now and the new year because, as you said, there's going to be a lot less people sitting at their desks, and then I think the new year kind of we reset and we see where we move from there.
Yeah, but we got these cell phones now. You don't have to be at your desk.
That's not the point.
But I think actually, I think what's funny is I think you're going to get the bounce through the year end, but then I think in January, when the new year starts and the slate's wiped clean and everyone starts from zero again, I think that's when you see another push lower, or at least an attempt to push lower, when people really start to understand what did he mean by that. What he meant was, we're going to take interest rates off the table because, you know, this story about, oh, we're so strong, we're not so strong anymore.
No. Plus, if he keeps wrapping the balance sheet, he's getting there anyway. Hey, Kenny, I don't see how I can do 3 weeks before I talk to you again. We have to get you a spot on another day with the holidays on the next Tuesdays.
All right.
If we don't talk to you before Christmas, Merry Christmas, buddy, and we'll get you another day.
And you as well. Bye-bye.
Take care. SP Futures now up 17. We're actually trying to get this rally to do something here. Maybe we will. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters. the daily news, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and try to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
I like the way sparkling earrings lay against your skin so bright.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Allen. She's Stephanie Coney, Mr. Matt Weber. S&P up 1650. We're making a legitimate run at a rally here today. Of course, we were down about 50 yesterday, so we need a little bit more. But still, any up day is a good day at this point, Steph, it looks like. So you got a new song there, Manny, huh?
It's an old song by
song
the Eagles.
For the, yes, I understand.
And no, it's not a new song for the show either. We've been playing it since Glenn Frey died, which was probably a year or two ago.
Well, the reason why I ask is the song that you normally play, Buffalo Springfield, was my buddy's from college song of the day yesterday.
Really? Well, we played that one when Kenny came on.
That's right.
I played it a little earlier than I normally do, so I had to change it up.
Steven Stills went to the record company, says, well, for what it's worth, I got this song. What's the name of the song, For What It's Worth? Classic, eh?
That is.
They send the videos of those of people in those days. Got stuff. I hope I haven't changed as much as they have, but I think I have.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, they had a lot more hair.
Yeah, they had more hair, and all I know is if I was dating Judy Collins, I think I'd have stayed off the drugs. I'm just saying. I thought she was special, but I never got in that league, shall we say.
Well, would you have been exciting enough for her, apparently, without the drugs?
You know what? You never know. I might have had some game.
I'm not
back
saying
in those
you
days.
Not saying you wouldn't. Just asking. You know.
And, you know, it wouldn't have been any kind of music game. I'm totally tone deaf, but so maybe that wouldn't get me in the room, but whatever. Okay. Matter of fact, Dr. J's, I'll tell you this, Dr. J's cousin lives up in Mill Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of these, you know, one-lane dirt roads to get up to this place. And three houses down was where, was it David Crosby painted the insides of his window black and hung in there and just did drugs for like 3 years and then finally resurfaced? Was it him or was it Graham Nash? I think it was David Crosby.
I'm not familiar with David Crosby's trials and tribulations.
Yeah, he lived like three houses down from her. This dirt Mill Valley is an interesting spot, shall we say.
Did he come out more enlightened or more brain dead?
Well, he did come out and he started playing again, so whatever. But
he needed money.
he needed the cash. They said we got these tours where all the old guys go on and whatever. Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit about, it is not my job really ever to criticize But once in a while, Steph, you gotta. I don't think you want to tweet this out, maybe. I was listening to Kramer last night and some of these other guys. When something happens like this Johnson & Johnson thing, you just got to keep the zip zipped. And because nobody knows. And this situation, there were people yesterday saying $50 billion come out of the stock price. It's way too much. You got to get back in there. Steph, when you start advising people like that, why is it I would never do that? Because I have, just for the facts for people that don't, there's a huge fight going on between Johnson & Johnson and, well, I guess the paper and Reuters came out with it, right, Manny? The story the other day. And they've had problems in essentially talcum powder, baby powder. And for years and years, people have used it. I use the term all over their body, right, Steph? Is that a fair, nice way to say it?
Let's say on our babies.
Yes, and our babies and on ourselves where maybe the babies came from. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
And a few of these ladies ended up with mesothelioma. And for anybody who doesn't know what that is, it's probably one of the most horrible diseases in our lifetime. And it comes from exposure to asbestos. And somehow, some way, and I do not know the medicine of it, and maybe nobody does, but you could be exposed to it when you were 20, and all of a sudden you get it when you're 70. And whether that's a degradation, I don't know, Steph, whether the asbestos stays in your body in some microscopic form, or like you mentioned earlier, it maybe damaged some cells that after, you know, 90 bazillion more reproductive, they finally turn in a different way or whatever, but it's a very specific disease. And I happen to know somewhat about it because Audrey, my significant other, who's been on the show with us, had a really, really good friend who was in the pipe fitting industry. And he used to wrap all these pipes in asbestos. Well, his wife, good friend of Odd's, she knew that this was kind of a dangerous thing, so she would never wash his clothes in with everybody else's in the family. She would wash them by hand, separately. Well, she ended up with it too. So the guy died from it, and so did she. But it's about a 5-year, you know, walk around with the oxygen degradation, and I don't know that anybody's ever survived it. Stefan, maybe, I mean, I'm no doctor, but if this starts to happen, and the guy from Johnson & Johnson is running around saying how safe it is, essentially today. And one of the articles I read was that allegedly somebody pulled a can of talcum powder out of the Johnson & Johnson Museum, and they found some strands of asbestos in the talcum powder from 1975 or something. Steph, I don't think anybody knows where this is going. To go out there and say it is a problem or not a problem, this generation, where they have opinions on everything that they know nothing about, you got to get over that. I mean, you can ask me, is that bridge going to fall down? And I'm going to say, I'm not a structural engineer. What are you asking me for? Now, if you ask me about a call or put option, I'm your man, right? You know, if you ask me about railroads, I'm your man. A few things, softball, I'm your man. But to ask me whether Johnson & Johnson's a buy here or whether we're going to have 50 more cases in the next year, nobody knows that. So why do people act like they do?
Well, I mean, everyone's got an opinion, right? So,
but most of them are like behinds and they all stink.
Oh, I was thinking the exact same thing. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen? And then the question, too, is how many of these people who... I mean, talcum powder has been used, but I don't think in the last however many years it's sort of going out of fashion to be used as kind of a daily...
Well, shower to shower isn't. I use it every day. Same thing.
But is it talcum powder-based?
Well, sure it is.
Well, then that's news to me.
I mean, it was at one time. I mean, I think it is. I mean, I don't know. I'm guessing, but I think it is.
Maybe you should go look.
Well, no.
I mean, one of the things is the question is how much do you really trust what they say today is true, based on the fact that what they said in the past clearly wasn't transparent. So, I mean, it's a lot of personal perception, I think, is going to make a bigger difference. And I know I sort of go down that track a lot, but. You know, if people stop buying it because of all of this thing and it gets a reputation, maybe they got to change the name of it. Maybe they've got to do something else to rebrand it before sales go up. Maybe they don't. Maybe it's such a great brand and such a well-known thing that people move past it and they trust them and believe them. But the more and more people that come out, the less I think that trust survives. So you're right. It's about time and seeing how it goes.
Well, I also think that out of all the things, like what I mentioned about this disease, and maybe, I can't think of anything where what would somebody say to you if you've been selling Coca-Cola for 100 years, and somebody would say, with my Coca-Cola, I have all these new machines, everything in it's perfectly safe. Yeah, but Chief, in 1955, there was a year where they didn't have those machines, and somehow or another, the cola nuts were bad, and people can get cancer from if they were 10 years old in 1955, they can get cancer now, and it's life threatening. How the hell would you believe them? How would there be any fault to you? I mean, how can you deal with it? All you can do is make sure that the Coke is fine tomorrow.
But you know, from a company perspective, yeah. But if you look, I mean, they've had mesothelioma cases for the last however many years, 20, 30 years. 20 years, I'm guessing. And you can look at what the return rate from a legal perspective out of cases and stuff like that to understand what impact this could have on Johnson & Johnson from a financial perspective. That would be, I guess, the way I'd look at it, because you kind of got to go to the numbers. And then other than that, the question is what else does Johnson & Johnson provide in terms of product-wise to counterbalance the fact that they're going to clearly probably have a huge outlay of cash?
It's like 5%. But, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is this will pressure, and I'm looking at this as kind of an intellectual trying to be, how does anybody know? If some lady who's, well, would say she was 20 in 1972, so she's 65, 66, she gets mesothelioma. How the hell could she prove that her particular can of talcum powder that she was spraying on herself or patting on herself, that she never was near, her boyfriend was never a pipe fitter, she never had a house or tore up a floor someplace where there was asbestos in the house and she didn't know it, she just tore through a wall when she remodeled. How could you prove, other than just in a sympathetic jury, how could you ever prove that was the only spot that you were exposed to it?
How did they prove that pipe fitters were?
Because they dealt with it every day.
Exactly. So how do you prove after years and years of use that somebody has purchased this and used it every day?
What I'm saying, even the people that are essentially bitching about the fact that it was in some of the talcum cans in the 70s, to the extent that they can lay their hands on them, it's in like 1 out of 100 cans.
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's part of the evidence that they've got to put out there. So some people use things kind of, I don't know whether the word excessive is correct in this case or not, but prolifically, I guess, is the right word. And some people, you know, you use talcum powder once every couple of weeks or once every couple of months or maybe once every couple of years. I think there's a different pattern there. And the question is, can you prove that this is a pattern of what somebody does? Just like pipe fitters go to work every day and you can prove that they were the ones insulating pipes.
But I'm saying in most old homes, if you went in there now, you have to have your eyeballs very, very open if you start tearing down walls and stuff, because you might have asbestos in there. And there's people, the minute you see it, you get people to come in, they have the hazmat suits, and they get it out of there for you. They vacuum the whole place, and there's people who do that. But I'm saying, Merlin Olsen, anybody knows football, and knows Merlin Olsen, one of the nicest guys that ever walked, allegedly, and he was also one of the best football players that ever walked, died of mesothelioma. So did Johnny Lattner, star of Chicago. I think he went to Lane Tech or someplace. Heisman Trophy winner at Notre Dame. Died of his son, traded the OEX pit. Real nice guy. He died of mesothelioma. I guarantee you, Steph, they couldn't tell you where they got it.
Yeah, and that might be the case. So I think, you know, like anything, there's only a small portion of the population that use talcum powder, probably regularly, that can even roughly get to a place where they can prove it. The other question is, you know, how else can you get mesothelioma? Because if you can eliminate everything else and prove that there's no other way that you've gotten it, that's another way to prove it. But, you know, the answer is, I don't know.
Brake pads, if you worked in a auto shop, brake pads had asbestos in them?
Right, but I mean, are there other ways, meaning not via asbestos,
I'm going to step out on a limb and say no. It's a cancer that is only from asbestos problems.
So, you know, that limits your what you need to prove you were not exposed to, right? So you need to prove that you were exposed to it and probably exposed to it regularly in one form or another.
Well, I'll give you one. You know why? You ever go to Philadelphia and see a big, huge ship just sitting there with three stacks?
Yeah.
The SS United States?
Mm-hmm.
You know why nobody will touch that thing?
Yep.
Why?
It's asbestos filled.
It's loaded. Because the person who built that ship, you know the only wood in that ship is in what?
I don't know what, the captain's cabin?
Piano.
Oh, really?
Because the guy who built it, I don't know if he was on a fire on a ship, got burned, something happened to him, stuff. He swore that no ship he ever designed or built would ever have a fire.
Probably won't, but everyone would die before something
else.
Well,
you know what, though? If somebody were to say, you have asbestos in your ceiling in your attic, and it's all covered up, you never have to touch it. As long as it's covered up, you're okay.
Yep.
It's when you disturb it, you got a problem. Still is the best fire. I mean, after the Lady of the Angels fire, they used asbestos everywhere because they didn't want another fire in a school.
Yep.
Because I know I've been exposed to it. Chicago Public Schools, every time we tore up a tile floor or something, stuff would fly in the air. It was all asbestos.
Yeah, it's got microparticles.
Yeah.
Get into you.
So I'm saying that this particular, if this is true, it'll be a fascinating study at how the court systems deal with it, how the company deals with it. The company is out, the CEO is out pounding, he'd be here this morning if we asked him, talking about how right now today they have the best testing equipment and everything's safe. And I'm going to say, I believe him.
I would say it's in his best interest to have all of that, and I would believe him too.
But how you talk about a product in 1972 when the guy was nowhere near the company, and how does...
That's what he goes home and tells his wife every day.
Yeah.
But well, what am I supposed to say? I wasn't around then.
Well, all you can do is make sure it's safe today. And you don't know how unsafe if it's one out of 100 bottles. And now every court, somebody walks in, obviously in bad shape, because it walks in with their little oxygen pack. You know, I'm not making fun of it at all by any stretch. And all of a sudden, they get in front of a jury. If they plead their case properly, is it $5 billion? Is there some kind of an asbestos fund that they put their money into, like the rest of the industries have done, to where everybody who has this problem gets $100,000? Or do they get to go to court individually? There's an amazing amount of decisions to be made here.
There are, from a company perspective, but if you're looking...
What's the legal system?
Well, exactly, but if you're looking at it, because they have had a history of mesothelioma issues and there is a fund, there are at least a number of ways that this has been dealt with in the past to guide them in a way to handle this. Right? It doesn't mean that they're going to pick one of those ways, but it's not like a blank canvas. It's not like something was just found, let's say in ketchup, right? And we now know red number 5 is going to, killing millions of people, right? 30 years after they eat it, right? I mean, that would be something kind of completely new, that wouldn't have had a history of how to deal with it. So,
you think Matty Weber even knows what red number 5 is?
I think Matty Weber sees red number 5 regularly, and does he care, is the question.
Well, I thought they'd...
Well, I can answer that right now. No.
Exactly.
There was an issue, Matty, with the red M&Ms, and it was in the red dye. They thought unique to the red dye was... What did it cause, Steph? Something.
I know it's linked to cancer, but I don't know what.
But
kind
I think
of
there was a while where you couldn't have there wasn't a red M&M, but they're back, so they got another dye, right?
Yeah. Well, most red dyes actually come from either plants or bugs. Actually, most dyes they use commercially come from plants or bugs.
Bugs.
Yes, big pun is bugs.
Yeah, I think I'll go out and buy some M&Ms after you said that.
Well, you know,
how does a bug give you red dye?
They squish them down. They actually use them for a lot of different kinds of dyes.
They squish them down.
Yeah.
That's the scientific terminology.
I'm sure. It's not an area I'm a huge expert in, but I do know that those are probably the primary.
See, now, as somebody who likes the new drinks, you're saying they squish them, they don't muddle them down? I thought you muddle now, you don't squish.
Hey, being not a huge fan of bugs, maybe I use the word squish in a little bit, malicious manner. But nevertheless, they do use them to, because apparently some of the colors in bugs particularly have good staying power, which is one of the reasons.
Oh, God. Maddie, I think we should change the subject.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You're the one that brought it up.
Yeah, I'm just...
exactly.
You're saying red... But I'm saying these are things that happen, and you wonder, given where... I mean, I guess what I'm saying here, I'm a long way of getting there, Steph, which is my style, I guess. Like, I don't see the everything we've talked about today. The Fed may be going too far. We've talked about other things happening. What's going on over in Europe? What about these banks? What about... I'm less and less confident that when something like this does happen, even to a Johnson & Johnson, that somehow or another we're going to have an adult someplace make a few decisions and have it be as fair as it can be for everybody. I'm losing virtually all confidence in my elected officials if I haven't already done so.
Part of me is speechless on that, not because I think you're wrong, but I think part of the... That's part of everyone's feeling in this country, is that it seems to be that people are just playing for one team and they're not really looking out for the best of the individual, meaning the best for what the country's happening and the best for the average Joe Bob who's on the street, you know, and working a 9-to-5 job or 9-to-9 job because they're trying to make ends meet. And I think that's where everyone's head's at. That's one of the reasons we have a lot of the people in the world in power that we do at the moment.
Every other time we seem to have had major crises in this country, we've ended up with leaders that really, I mean, George Washington, for lack of a better term, even though as much as the Americans love to think that they basically kicked the British ass, it really was the French. If it wasn't for the French, I don't know. I don't think we'd have won. But anyway, it's another story. But George Washington was a spectacular general. Matter of fact, the Brits think he was the best one they ever went up against. And we had the Civil War issue. We had an Abraham Lincoln. We had people. We had Grant. We had some people that were Longstreet. There were guys that came to the fore and sort of helped us out in time when we needed it. Obviously, Roosevelt, the George Marshalls of the world. You know, the generals we had, Eisenhower, those kind of people. They were very special people that came together at times when we needed them. And now it seems like we're somewhat coming a tad unglued, not like in a World War situation. God, we get one buffoon after next.
Well, I mean, I think at this point, the question is will the American public do the right thing? I don't think we're in a crisis at the moment. But I think if we don't have someone strong and reliable and consistent to pull the world back together, I think we're going to end up there. And I mean, one of the things that scares me the most is you look, Europe is in disarray. You've got, you know, France all up in arms, and probably, I'm guessing it will come out that the Russians have influenced a lot of the rioting and all that sorts of stuff. You'll see that. You've got the Middle East is in turmoil, and you've got obviously the U.S. We're bouncing around and floundering. So what is that left? Well, it's left China, and it's left Russia to basically kind of live and do what they want in the world. And that is the part that scares me. No one is watching. Everyone is so absorbed in all of these other things that are internal that no one is watching what's going on in the real world, in the big world. And, you know, we're going to lose our advantage here. And we are losing our advantage here by basically stepping out of the arena. We're basically saying, hey, you know what? We don't want to play anymore. I want to just go live on the sideline, and I'm going to let you guys play around and, you know, help the world.
Yeah, well, there's things that have been set in motion that were somewhat in denial. I was having a burger a couple of weeks ago, and some guy was giving me a story about how we don't really want anybody from Honduras here. And I said, okay. I understand the feeling that, you know, nobody really wants anybody in. The Irish, we don't want them, we don't want anybody. If you ask people up north, we probably would never really wanted the African Americans here. They were coming over as slaves. But down south, they loved them because they were buying them. Anyways, there's never really been anybody you sort of wanted here. Nobody wants...
The Indians didn't want us here.
Well, if you join a country club, you don't want... Look at the Hall of Fame, Maddie. Once you're in the Hall of Fame, you don't want anybody else in the Hall of Fame, right?
Well, that's the problem with it. You know, nobody wants a club where anyone can get in.
But I said to this dude, I go, you realize that there's based on a lot of wars and a lot of population growth and a lot of things, some of which, you know, I won't say that it was our fault. I'm not one of those kind of, you know, people that every war is our fault kind of things, but that were the fault of, say, a group of collective big countries. There's 60 million people that are essentially out of their perches. And our response is none of them come here. I mean, how many people could you pilot a Jordan, for God's sake? I mean,
yeah.
Guy says 60 million. I go, yeah.
And most of them are fleeing wherever they are due to climate change in one sense or another. They're either going through droughts. So we've got all the South Americans coming up because they're going through five-year drought. They can't feed their families. They're going through problems. The Middle East is in a huge drought, largest drought they've had in, hundreds of years, I believe. I got to check that thing, but it's been a long time. I mean, there's a reason why you have all these people moving out of certain regions in the world, and you know, it's crazy to think that because they can't feed themselves where they were coming from, and the world's changing to a lot of the things that we as industrial nations have done, that we're just not going to ignore that problem.
Well, SP Futures up 17. Mr. John Neal after the break.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks. Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. She's Stephanie Koenig. And Tuesdays, she'll be shifting to Monday, though, where she and Brandon are going to trade days. SP Futures up 17. Dow Futures up 149. Up. I'm not making a mistake. Up they are. NASDAQ Futures up 51. I haven't seen that in a while. Oil, however, down $1.11, 48.77. It's actually off its lows. It was down $1.50. Ouch. 10-year yield 2.83. Over in Europe, DAX up 39.3%. FTSE down 24.3%. CAC around down 6, call that flat. So zip happening over in Europe. Now catch up to the downside here in Asia. Nikkei down 391, 1.8%. Shanghai down 21.8%. Hang Seng down 273, that's a full 1%. We have oil, like I said, down $1.11. West Texas, Brent down 115. The spread is $9, call that 70 cents. Gold is down 20 cents. Silver down 3 cents at a rally yesterday. So we're coming back just a little, but not very much. Maddie, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. One significant crash in the area is on the tri-state, I-294 northbound just before 47th Street. There's an accident blocking the left lane. That's causing a significant congestion on I-294, so keep that in mind if you're traveling up 294 on the west side. Dan Ryan, I-57 and the Bishop Ford are looking okay. Traffic building on the Stevenson and Eisenhower. Same with the Kennedy. Edens looks good, though. We do have a stall on the Kennedy blocking the left lane right now, inbound just before Montrose, and that's really causing some buildup as folks navigate around that. So that's the big concern on the Kennedy. Western Burbs, we had an earlier crash this morning in Bartlett at West Bartlett Road at Route 59. Still working on that crash, so it must have been a big one, because that was about an hour ago, and it's still there. Just north of there, Quinton Road, southbound at Lake Cook Road, there's an accident. To the east of that, Route 53, at Route 83, there's a crash. And north on 83 at Route 120, which is Belvedere Road, there's an accident as well. Those are all in the northern and northwestern suburbs. Weather today, lots of sunshine. Will be mild for this time of year. In fact, for the next few days, we'll be in the 40s. Today, sunny with a high of 43, which is about 9 degrees above normal. We'll take it. Right now, it's crystal clear and 32 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 69 today. Right now it's clear and 46. In sports, the Bulls were blown out in Oklahoma City last night, 121-96. Suns beat the Knicks, 128-110. Both hockey teams were off last night. Monday Night Football, it was the Saints outlasting the Panthers, 12-9. College hoops, Arizona State lost to Vanderbilt, 81-65. Northwestern blew out Chicago State, 88-46. Chief.
So, Maddie, I have a story for you, and this is not something you want to, you know. John, how are you?
Doing good. Yourself?
All right. I have a quick story here for Matt Weber, and then we'll talk about the market. I had occasion yesterday to go way up north to Winnetka. Interesting area. I'm not all that familiar with, but there I was. So on the way back, Steph Kittle, Edens is a... You're not going anywhere. Right? It just stopped. And I'm thinking, this is just swell. There's got to be an accident someplace. Creeping along, and all of a sudden, we got the window open a little bit. It's a beautiful day. I hear this, hey, buddy, and they're next to me in this huge 18-wheeler. Now, notice you don't call it a truck, man. It's an 18-wheeler. Guy says, hey, you better move over into my lane or you're never going to get by up there. It's all messed up. So you guys get in front of me. So he lets me in. And we got there, you know, much faster than if we wouldn't have. Now, my question to you, Manny, do you think if we were in your Mercedes, that guy would have done that?
Are you saying that he said that to you strictly because you're driving an old Suburban?
Yeah, I was a brother truckman.
I guess. I mean, you could be right.
I didn't see him.
I think it was because you had your window down when it was 30 degrees out. That would be my guess.
Actually, it was 40. It was kind of nice. But
it wasn't 40 yesterday. Yesterday was cold.
But it was pretty sunny. And
it was sunny, though.
Yeah, and so, you know, I was just saying, you know, I think I was a brother truckman. And
I think there was two people that had their windows down on the whole expressway, and it was you and that guy. And
maybe
I think that
could be
happened.
Too. See how he danced around that one? He's pretty good at that, isn't he? Yeah. I was on the sofa. I was there all night. That's your story, and you're sticking to it, right?
That's right.
So, Jan, what do you make of this? Is bounce for real, or are we waiting for the inevitable sell-off? What are we doing here?
No, I'll be surprised if you don't have a sell-off, you know, early on after this open, you know. I'm just not trusting anything later in the week, and, you know, then you get, budget for the government, and there's a lot of overhang to pull this back down. So even with the, Trump's tweets and things like that, the president's put out there to try to get him to hold on interest rates and things like that. But, we'll see,
Yeah, I'm not sure. Every morning has been a fade, especially to the upside. Well, this morning looks pretty strong so far.
So get this, Chief. David forwarded this on Twitter. In the past 28 years, there have been two times when every stock in the S&P 500 energy sector was below their 10-day, 50-day, and 200-day average, and more than half were trading at 52-week lows. The first time was the very depths of the 2008 financial crisis. The second time is now.
Right. Did you, John, I don't know if you've had the, if you've, for whatever reason, done it, but check out, I'm not a chart guy, but check out the chart of Schlumberger. Okay. We're talking about the third biggest in the XLE. It was the third biggest company, right behind Exxon and Chevron. The chart is the worst looking chart I've ever seen. The thing was over $80 this year, and it's like 39 something. It just goes down every day. I mean, there doesn't seem to be any. I mean, there's no line below it. There's no place other than the bottom of the page. I can't even. How would you look at a graph like that and even know where the bottom would be, even if you're a chart guy? I mean, whatever.
Anyway, yeah, you couldn't. When it's in virgin territory like that, it's, you gotta wait and see if it builds a base or something like that and comes up off of the base. But that tells you to stay away, unless you're shorting the damn thing.
Speaking of which, we haven't talked about the government shutdown.
Also, do either one of you, I'm not going to lob one out there. I will lob one out there. Does anybody know more about this Goldman mess than me? I just know they're in trouble with, was it Malaysia?
Oh, Goldman.
Goldman Sachs. And
yes.
This stock has been clobbered as well. It just goes down every day.
Yeah, well, more information keeps coming out every day about that deal and about how they knew it was going to be, money was going to be, I don't know what the right word is, it's not laundered, but used for illicit purposes. And they didn't care. So it's getting to be more and more, obvious, as a lot of things in the world are, that there was less than upstanding behavior in the part of Goldman.
So they charged these guys $600 million for a $6 billion deal, not even a quantity discount, 10%. Yeah, that seems like a lot.
It does, but what's Malaysia's credit rating? Because a lot of it has to do with that stuff.
I'm sure Goldman got their money first.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Boy, $600 million, that's a big check.
It is.
Can you walk into Lakeside Bank and drop that one off there, you think?
I think Lakeside might be happy to have me as a client, but I may be investigated.
I think they're gonna make sure that one clears before you write a check on that one, I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity. But, what about... This is another one of these things that the guys are talking about... This is every time the market goes down, it's always a buy. It's like saying every time there's a tornado warning, when was the last time you got hit by a tornado? Get out there. Same thing about the government shutdown stuff. And Jan, do you see any? Does anybody even act like there might be a government shutdown like this week?
I mean, not really.
No,
they don't. I just worry, about our servicemen and all of our. Federal employees, and right around the holidays.
Well, they'll get some will get paid, and some will have to keep working. Okay, and the ones that keep working, I believe Maddie will probably continue to get paid on some special deal. The interesting part is the people who are furloughed and don't get paid will eventually get essentially a paid vacation.
Yeah, but then also our they don't pay a lot of the services for our military, on time. They don't pay our Medicare providers, Medicaid providers time. I mean, all of that, if you think that doesn't have an impact on what we pay for health care and for everything else, you're crazy.
Well, I agree. I'm saying is it's fallen into this tornado warning thing. We've had how many government shutdowns in the last 10 years, Jen? 8, 10? And nobody even remembers
them. Right?
Nobody even remembers them. Now, I think you get a little immune to that. We're too immune to it. it could last a while this time, and it could be a problem. But try and get a vote. Try and go down Michigan Avenue, Steph. If you find 1 in 10 people even know it's coming this week, I'll take you to dinner at a nice place. If one of those 10 out of 10 says it's going to be a problem, whatever, you get 2 dinners, same night.
I'll take the first bet, but not the second.
You think 1 out of 10 people, Michigan Avenue might be a wrong street.
I think 1 out of 10 will know about the government shutdown. I don't think that they will think that it matters.
You see, now, Steph is very nice, but she's also very sneaky. She's going to walk up to guys in suits with briefcases and ask them.
You didn't put any criteria on this.
So you're immediately going to rig the sample.
Hey,
with the Wall Street Journal under their arm.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not stupid.
I'll rig the sample. I love it. You got to watch out for these people on Stacks and Jacks, man. They're always thinking, you know, type of thing.
That's why we keep them around.
Yes. So January, we had a nice move up in gold. Oil getting absolutely spanked. Very bizarre. Like I said, if we are, I'm back on my Schlumberger thing, skipping around here, if we are producing more oil than we've ever produced in this country, well, going back to God knows how long, why would the biggest oil service provider be flat on its ass? I mean, what am I missing?
Yeah, you would think they would need, some part, some equipment, some something, exactly.
I don't think Schlumberger was an early provider, and I don't think they got their toe in the door quick enough on a lot of the stuff they use in these fracking things. So I think that might be one of the reasons. But still, every pump you use on a soil field made by, I mean, there's some equipment that I don't know if anybody else even makes.
But I thought the fracking hardware to do that was very different than the old.
Yes.
And so the question is, you know, this is not an area I'm an expert in by any means, but it's my understanding that a lot of the techniques that they used before, they can't use. So does that, one of the reasons it's plummeting? Because a lot of the things that they produce just aren't relevant in this current market?
I'm going to guess instead of being 60% of what people buy, they're 30%, like you're saying. So I don't think it's zero. I mean, all the pumps and all that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's just a small portion. What their makeup is, you know, I think they're more of the traditional, what you would call the traditional oil wells.
I mean, Halliburton's big in this new area, but I don't know if any of these companies are doing that well. You would think they would be. I've heard that, you know, some of these places in Texas have a huge basis problem, that their oil is where do we say oil was today? I'll get the exact number. I'm going to spout it out here. Oil's $48.77. There are guys that we know stuff, that will tell you that a guy in the Permian is getting 35. It's costing $13 to ship it.
Right. I mean, you know, there's a whole bunch of different things that are going on in this industry. And, you know, some of it's shipping. I mean, you just had OPEC say they were going to cut their production, but, you know, a lot of the fracking that we're doing is increasing our overall production. So the question, at least that I'm reading about, is it really going to change our stockpiling for 2019? And the answer seems to be probably not that much. Because of fracking, you can go horizontal for miles and miles, which means you probably don't need to necessarily drill as many wells, depending on, I guess, probably a lot of the geological stuff that's down there. But this is not an area I'm expert in by any means. So the question is, do you need as much hardware? I mean, I don't know.
Well, you have to pump a brine solution into the field. So
it's not just brine, but yeah.
But yeah, it's, everybody's got their own potion. But you have to essentially pump stuff down there to break up the formation, so the oil becomes enough of a pool to get out of there.
Yeah, which has been, you know, causing earthquakes and all sorts of other
little problems, slight problems.
Slippage of our Earth's crust.
The water supplies. I've had a client in the Northeast that lives in a community where, you know, they've had issues because of this. But of course, it's not an issue according to, you know, the company doing the drilling, but yet something's getting in their water supply there. So, you know, there's those issues. And I think back to your original thing, Tom. I think some of these companies, because of all these things they're saying, are a little reticent to maybe or replace equipment or buy equipment or little, you know, once bitten, twice shy kind of thing.
Well, I mean, some of the areas in the country, Northeast Ohio, Southern Illinois, were all fired up for this fracking. And I don't think either one of them, I know there's not one in Illinois now. I don't think there's any left in Ohio. They've pretty much scooted back into the areas where you can make money. I think to pull something out of the ground in the Permian is probably in the $12 to $15 range. I'm just lobbing that out there. So those guys are still making money even at 30-something.
Yeah, but, I mean, right. If we go back to the Johnson & Johnson example, here's a clear example that there is something that these companies should be wary of and, you know, should be putting money aside to deal with if they're not willing to deal with it now. So, you know, there seems to be a lot of legal risk in the long term.
But how, if you put you two guys, guy and lady, in the Oval Office of Johnson & Johnson, even if you were the most altruistic, if you were a combination of Jesus Christ and Solomon, how the hell could you even figure out how big the problem was from 45 years ago?
Are you Jesus Christ or am I? Or am I Solomon?
No, this is you and Jan.
Yeah. I meant him.
Yeah, he can be Solomon.
You can be whatever one you want.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you know, you can't take the company down by being too altruistic, and then you've put thousands of people out of a job. You don't take responsibility, and you've got a PR problem. But also, I mean, how do you live with yourself if you're Jesus Christ and
Solomon? Well, I mean, how do you, even if you wanted to, quote, solve the problem, you notice, I'll ask Maddie. Maddie, you notice that the questions, I don't think it's just me. The questions you ask from the listeners, A, are getting much more, shall we say, spot on, and they're getting much more difficult to answer. They're not one word, even the one the other day. If what was the guy that says, if I had, given what's happened to soybeans, if I'm a farmer, should I plant my soybeans
right
next year? That's about a five-part question. Where are you? How close are you to the river? How close are you to the railroad? You know, what's your property like? Are you selling it to American people? Are you selling it down in New Orleans? Are you shipping it to the Chinese? Are you in South Dakota? I mean, I got to ask 15 more questions before I answer the question.
What's your acreage? You know, what's your quality of your beans you usually get? I mean, all sorts of different things, yeah.
So, I mean, it seemed like we used to get questions back in the time, Maddie, where you could say yes or no. Is there even such a thing as a yes or no question? No? I mean, you know, are the Bears going to make the playoff? Yes.
We know that now, for sure.
Yeah, we already clinched. But is it just me, or are you feeling the same way?
No, I would agree with that. But I think part of that is if you're listening to this show, you're getting more of a long-form type discussion. And so there's time to let it breathe where you don't just have to ask a yes or no question. And so they like to ask questions where they can get a thoughtful answer.
Well, and then you're never going to get that on TV once in a while.
Either. Right, it's just a different format.
But I'm impressed with our user, our you know, base here. They ask good questions.
Well, yeah. And, right.
Or I just don't tell you the bad ones.
I'm sure it's a little bit
that could,
both.
That could be too, right?
Yeah, we got guys that come in a little. We don't have to. Well, we do. We actually have a couple of people that come in way from the left and a couple way from the right. But even those guys have tempered themselves a little bit. Maybe you think as a show we've driven people toward the middle or what?
I think we've driven some of our hosts toward the middle, or at least to consider the middle, and I think that's a good thing.
Well, we just kicked,
I don't know about the listeners. The listeners are pretty set in their ways.
We just kicked Lou way right, though, with the cream puff air pours thing of earlier. I bet he goes to the games out there.
I assume that game would be at Michigan and not in Colorado, but the actual, you know, Michigan game. But yeah, he probably goes to some home games out there. And Air Force historically has not been terrible at sports. They've had a couple of good basketball and football seasons here and there. But this year I don't think they're very good.
I would love to go to a basketball game on the Air Force campus.
Sure, I would.
It would be pretty neat.
Yeah, I'd love to go to a game on the Michigan campus.
I would like to visit all three of the academies.
You should.
I've never been in. I've heard the Army one is spectacular.
Which one, West Point?
Yeah.
West Point is amazing. I grew up right around there. It's gorgeous.
Up on the Hudson River. That whole, I've actually driven across the Hudson River Valley like once. I never saw anything more beautiful. And I just drove over it on the interstate.
Yeah, I grew up there. It's absolutely amazing. It's gorgeous. It was at one time considered to be one of the wonders of the world in terms of from a beauty perspective.
Now, why is the God, here's a stupid question. Why is the valley so big? I mean, was it a glacier thing?
Yeah, the Hudson River is a glacier. Came down and basically scoured the river out. So it's incredibly deep. In fact, where they built the Tappan Zee Bridge, they built it in the widest part of the river because that was where they could get land. It also was because it was where they needed to get traffic across. But the middle of the old Tappan Zee Bridge, they've just replaced the bridge, was actually floating because there was quicksand in the bottom of the river. So they had these big, huge floaters underneath that bridge to keep it up. And one of my neighbors used to go in and inspect them all the time. I always
really?
Wished I could go along. Yeah, I thought that'd be kind of neat.
Well, if you
is the Hudson bigger than the Mississippi?
Yes, wide-wise. I don't know about the amount of flow in terms of width. Yes,
Mississippi.
In certain parts of the Mississippi, it's pretty damn wide.
Mississippi Valley is really wide.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to. I guess I'd have to look it up.
You know what?
Look it up, but I'm almost positive I'm right.
Steph, if you if you take the what's the 355 or whatever, what's a massive
wait,
valley?
95
is the Des Plaines River.
Oh yes, but the Hudson River, you know, is ginormous.
Well, what I'm saying is that with the glaciers here, we're talking about a wacky turn to the show.
Yeah.
With the glaciers here, when the glaciers melted, the drainage out of the Des Plaines River Valley was like equal to like the damn near the Amazon.
It doesn't surprise me. But, you know, Manhattan, part of the reason Manhattan is what it is because the glacier came down and scoured the top of Manhattan. So the top, you can build these tall skyscrapers because it's pretty much down at the bedrock.
Right.
And the bottom of Manhattan is where all the, I forget what the right terminology is, where the glacier pulled back and all of the sediment was left. So that's why lower Manhattan is a lot shorter is because to get down to bedrock is a lot deeper. And so you can't put like such substructures, or at least they didn't until you got better drilling and better steel conditions.
Well, now you just use caissons. You don't worry if you get to the
well bedrock. Now, but you know when Manhattan was originally settled, getting down even you know what 20, 30 years ago,
yep.
Drilling that deep was a challenge. So or at least from financial perspective,
Stacks and Jackson Architecture, John, what do you think?
Hey, there you go.
So, all right, General, while we have you, we have a few minutes left.
Yes.
Is there any chance this rally holds?
Well, there's a chance, but I wouldn't trust anything directional. Let me put it that way. I wouldn't take a direction one way or the other right now.
I would say that the last 8 weeks, all the trades we've made have been rolling our puts up and down.
Everything. Exactly,
but I.
Me too.
I'm guessing that the fact that this is some to the extent that it's been a repricing, John. I think we're near to we're in the seventh inning. I think we go down a little bit more, and if we go down after that, it's because something else happened, Europe or whatever. That's my feel. Now that of course that and say if that and a quarter gets you a payphone if you can find a payphone.
Right. Yeah. If I was a betting man, and I am, I would agree with you along those lines, and. In some way, some stories will get out that, you know, how great things are and, and it'll be, manipulated, with the spoken and written word, not by facts, you know.
Are you, kind of as concerned as a money manager, which you are, and PTI West? I honestly I'm having trouble handicapping the European situation, the Middle East, all the stuff is brought up. I have no idea
right.
what these Italian banks, I don't know if they're going under or not. I don't know if Deutsche Bank's going under or not. I wish I did, Jen. There's a lot of variables out there. I just, go ahead, Steph.
So what I was going to say, what do you think, coming in this new year, I mean, where do you think we're going? What do you think we're doing?
I think we're going to flatten out for a long time. We haven't had a flat market and maybe slightly bear market for a while, and I think we've got one. We're not going to be like the last 10 years. We might be like the 10 years before that. Where I honestly think that 3-4 years from now, the highs of a few months ago might still be the highs.
John, what do you think?
Yeah, I think we're going to be flat to a slightly upward bias for 2019. I think there's going to be some more opportunities in some of the better countries of Europe. Some of those areas, or might even start looking at some of those ETFs. I'm not so sure what the options, you know, exactly if we'd be able to do it, but I think there's going to be some opportunities in parts of Europe.
Somebody dropped $100 million on the desk tomorrow and said, I want to be in the market.
Right.
I would try and talk them into somewhat of a one we haven't dusted off in a long time, John. I'd use a covered straddle writing program.
Right.
At least I start out. You know what that is, Steph?
Yep.
What that means, essentially, instead of buying 1,000 shares of XYZ, you buy 500 shares, so the rest of it's in the bank, so you're not taking any risk, and you sell an out-of-the-money put five times, and you sell an out-of-the-money call five times. So if its stock goes down, you're buying the other 500 shares lower. Because I don't trust the snack a little bit lower here, John, like you're talking about.
Anyway. By the way, Chief, the Mississippi is longer and flows at a higher rate of discharge. The Hudson is deeper, 216 to 200. They're the two deepest rivers.
Wow.
In the U.S. Hudson 216, Mississippi 200.
And which one's wider?
I think Mississippi is much wider, much longer, and flows at a much higher discharge.
It's a mile wide in a few spots.
Yeah, but it, not quite as deep.
Wow. S&P futures up 17. We'll be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't f***ing know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.